Диск 4. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Тексты прозвучат два раза. После каждого прослушивания текстов у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела аудирования перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «эй», «эф» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только один раз. В задании есть одно лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись дважды. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I think any rodents are great pets. You know, mice, rats, guinea pigs, and so on. They are so tiny and cute. They don't take much space. Their cages are relatively small, and they don't walk around your place like cats and dogs. They are low maintenance as well. Because of their small size, they don't consume much food. So they won't cost you a fortune compared with bigger pets. So if you don't have a big house, a mouse is the best solution.
Speaker B.
If you ask me, well, I think dogs are the best pets ever. When you buy a dog, you buy not simply a nice pet to boast of to your friends. It's actually the most loyal companion you'll ever have. Your dog will never let you down. It will understand your mood, and if you are feeling blue, it will also feel bad. It's fun to go for a walk with your dog and play with it, because your dog always wants to be with you and will generally always do what you feel like doing.
Speaker C. I don't have a pet and honestly don't understand people who have one. I don't see any point in having a pet. Firstly, it's so expensive. They need food, sometimes clothes and accessories, vitamins and things like that. Secondly, they occupy too much space. Thirdly, there's a lot of dirt in the house because of them. With some pets, like dogs, you also have to go for walks. Whatever the weather, it's too many problems. Speaker D.
As for me, well, I don't have a pet. But I'd love to get one. However, I don't want a traditional pet like cats, dogs, or hamsters. I'd love to have an unusual pet. A chameleon would be nice, or probably a snake or a spider. I would post a lot of photos of my pet on social media to show off, and all of my friends will feel envious because they have ordinary pets, while I have an unusual one. The only problem is that my parents are strongly against it, but I keep hoping.
Speaker E. I think everybody needs a pet, but you have to choose it carefully. Some people want a loyal friend, so a dog can be a perfect solution for them. Others are never at home, so they cannot have a pet that needs a lot of care and attention. Probably fish will suit such a person. Some people have really small flats. The best choice for them will be a hamster. Those who can afford an exotic pet can buy a snake. I mean, there are a lot of factors to consider. Speaker F.
I think everybody needs to have a pet because pets are a great way to relieve stress and tension. Some people say cats are best to fight stress and can even relieve strong headaches. Still, for me, there's nothing better than fish. I have a big aquarium with goldfish there. I watch them moving, living their own secret life after a hard day at school, and it really helps me to become less nervous. There can be other pets to relieve stress. Who knows? Dogs, maybe.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I think any rodents are great pets. You know, mice, rats, guinea pigs, and so on. They are so tiny and cute. They don't take much space. Their cages are relatively small, and they don't walk around your place like cats and dogs. They are low maintenance as well. Because of their small size, they don't consume much food. So they won't cost you a fortune compared with bigger pets. So if you don't have a big house, a mouse is the best solution.
Speaker B.
If you ask me, well, I think dogs are the best pets ever. When you buy a dog, you buy not simply a nice pet to boast of to your friends. It's actually the most loyal companion you'll ever have. Your dog will never let you down. It will understand your mood, and if you are feeling blue, it will also feel bad. It's fun to go for a walk with your dog and play with it, because your dog always wants to be with you and will generally always do what you feel like doing.
Speaker C. I don't have a pet and honestly don't understand people who have one. I don't see any point in having a pet. Firstly, it's so expensive. They need food, sometimes clothes and accessories, vitamins and things like that. Secondly, they occupy too much space. Thirdly, there's a lot of dirt in the house because of them. With some pets, like dogs, you also have to go for walks, whatever the weather. It's too many problems. Speaker D.
As for me, well, I don't have a pet, but I'd love to get one. However, I don't want a traditional pet like cats, dogs, or hamsters. I'd love to have an unusual pet. A chameleon would be nice, or probably a snake or a spider. I would post a lot of photos of my pet on social media to show off, and all of my friends will feel envious because they have ordinary pets, while I have an unusual one. The only problem is that my parents are strongly against it, but I keep hoping.
Speaker E. I think everybody needs a pet, but you have to choose it carefully. Some people want a loyal friend, so a dog can be a perfect solution for them. Others are never at home, so they cannot have a pet that needs a lot of care and attention. Probably fish will suit such a person. Some people have really small flats. The best choice for them will be a hamster. Those who can afford an exotic pet can buy a snake. I mean, there are a lot of factors to consider. Speaker F.
I think everybody needs to have a pet because pets are a great way to relieve stress and tension. Some people say cats are best to fight stress and can even relieve strong headaches. Still, for me, there's nothing better than fish. I have a big aquarium with goldfish there. I watch them moving, living their own secret life after a hard day at school, and it really helps me to become less nervous. There can be other pets to relieve stress. Who knows? Dogs, maybe.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Jason. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?
Oh, hi, Emma. It's so good to see you. I'm great. How about you?
Oh, I'm fine. So how are your summer holidays? As for me, I'm just bored. I've watched all the films I wanted to see and read all the books I wanted to read. I simply have nothing to do.
You can join a gym or find a summer job then. That will keep you busy enough, I'm sure.
Well, I'm thinking of getting a part-time job for the summer, but I haven't made up my mind yet. So, coming back to you, what have you been doing so far?
Well, I haven't been up to anything interesting recently, but next week my adventure will begin. I'm looking forward to it so much.
An adventure? That sounds exciting. What are you going to do?
I'm going on an expedition to the Atlas Mountains in Morocco. The aim of the expedition is to observe the everyday life of local people, but there will be opportunities for trekking and bird watching.
It sounds great. I guess it was not so easy to be accepted to this expedition group. Did they have many special requirements?
I can't say there were too many requirements. One has to be reasonably fit and prefer mountain huts to grand hotels. They were looking for people with some useful skills like cooking, first aid, or photography.
I didn't know you could cook very well.
I can't cook, Emma. I'm absolutely helpless in the kitchen. However, I'm a very good photographer. I also speak French, and fluent French speakers were also needed.
Do you need to take any special equipment?
All the necessary equipment will be provided, but I do have a list of things I have to have. It's quite long and detailed, so it took me a while to get them all.
I see. Well, Jason, I hope you have a great trip. I expect you to take thousands of pictures of Morocco. They will be very colourful and bright, I'm sure. Will you post them on social media?
I'd love to, but I'm not sure about that. I don't know if I'll be able to have an internet connection during my expedition. I expect to be offline for at least some part of my trip.
You'll show me the pictures when you come back then. I'm longing to see them already. How long are you going for?
It's 3 weeks. I'll give you a call as soon as I come back. We'll meet for a coffee and I'll tell you everything about Morocco, okay?
It's a date then.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hi, Jason. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?
Oh, hi, Emma. It's so good to see you. I'm great. How about you?
Oh, I'm fine. So how are your summer holidays? As for me, I'm just bored. I've watched all the films I wanted to see and read all the books I wanted to read. I simply have nothing to do.
You can join a gym or find a summer job then. That will keep you busy enough, I'm sure.
Well, I'm thinking of getting a part-time job for the summer, but I haven't made up my mind yet. So, coming back to you, what have you been doing so far?
Well, I haven't been up to anything interesting recently, but next week my adventure will begin. I'm looking forward to it so much.
An adventure? That sounds exciting. What are you going to do?
I'm going on an expedition to the Atlas Mountains in Morocco. The aim of the expedition is to observe the everyday life of local people, but there will be opportunities for trekking and bird watching.
It sounds great. I guess it was not so easy to be accepted to this expedition group. Did they have many special requirements?
I can't say there were too many requirements. One has to be reasonably fit and prefer mountain huts to grand hotels. They were looking for people with some useful skills like cooking, first aid, or photography.
I didn't know you could cook very well.
I can't cook, Emma. I'm absolutely helpless in the kitchen. However, I'm a very good photographer. I also speak French, and fluent French speakers were also needed.
Do you need to take any special equipment?
All the necessary equipment will be provided, but I do have a list of things I have to have. It's quite long and detailed, so it took me a while to get them all.
I see. Well, Jason, I hope you have a great trip. I expect you to take thousands of pictures of Morocco. They will be very colourful and bright, I'm sure. Will you post them on social media?
I'd love to, but I'm not sure about that. I don't know if I'll be able to have an internet connection during my expedition. I expect to be offline for at least some part of my trip.
You'll show me the pictures when you come back then. I'm longing to see them already. How long are you going for?
It's 3 weeks. I'll give you a call as soon as I come back. We'll meet for a coffee and I'll tell you everything about Morocco, okay?
It's a date then.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly program, The Writer's Workshop. Today in our studio, we have Leona Brown, a prize-winning short fiction writer. Hello, Leona.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me here today.
Will you please tell us a bit about your literary achievements?
Of course. So far, I've written a novel and some collections of interlocking stories. My novel is basically a story about finding hope. I'm currently working on two other novels and a collection of essays.
Some literary critics think your novel, A Good Person, is a love story. What would you say to that?
Well, a lot of the action in the story happens off the page. The scenes seem to focus instead on the interactions and moments that happen in the wake of that off-page drama. I know some readers were particularly struck at how the story avoided certain storylines. For example, the drama that's built on the main hero's relationship is an important part of the story, but it remains secondary to what's going on with another main character, Sylvia. Another writer might have made it a much bigger part of the story. What will all of them do? This question is present, but it's kept to a lower register. So, there is a developing romance that gets folded into all the other stuff going on in the story. As a result, one could call this a love story, but that wouldn't feel quite right, I don't think.
When you were working on this story, what was your sense of what kind of story it was?
I never did think of this as a love story. My process in developing a story or an essay is almost always exploratory for the first few drafts. And that was the case with this one even more than usual. It began with memories of a time and a place that I wanted to explore for meanings. I had quite a lot of it drafted before I figured out that its true subject was the drama going on inside Sylvia, a drama she's only partly aware of. Once I'd decided what the story was about, I rewrote it several, in fact, many times, hoping to make all the parts of it work together to make that drama felt.
So, Sylvia is your main character in this novel, isn't she?
Yes. I'd say this is a story about Sylvia. The drama I was most interested in delving into was happening inside her. She's trying on different versions of herself and hasn't yet come to realize that life is serious business. She's reaching for some idea of cool and, naively, she half thinks she's already achieved it, but she's yet to take a deep look at anything in her life. I love her. And I forgive her faults because she's young and a slow learner.
What can you tell us about your working process?
In my opinion, stories are constructed through language, not memory. I write at the level of the sentence. I sit there, looking at the doors and windows a sentence has opened for the sentence that can follow, and so on. I do not write with a plan. I do not know where a story is going ahead of time. There is no pre-writing. It all happens in the moment of looking at the words.
How do you understand the plot is going to be interesting for readers?
I do not believe circumstances are intrinsically interesting or uninteresting. Narrators create interest by their passionate investment in the story they are telling. The less the narrator asks for something from the reader, something like feel my feelings, share my understandings, and so on, the more room readers have to feel their own emotions.
Thank you, Leona. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly program, The Writer's Workshop. Today in our studio, we have Leona Brown, a prize-winning short fiction writer. Hello, Leona.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me here today.
Will you please tell us a bit about your literary achievements?
Of course. So far, I've written a novel and some collections of interlocking stories. My novel is basically a story about finding hope. I'm currently working on two other novels and a collection of essays.
Some literary critics think your novel, A Good Person, is a love story. What would you say to that?
Well, a lot of the action in the story happens off the page. The scenes seem to focus instead on the interactions and moments that happen in the wake of that off-page drama. I know some readers were particularly struck at how the story avoided certain storylines. For example, the drama that's built on the main hero's relationship is an important part of the story, but it remains secondary to what's going on with another main character, Sylvia. Another writer might have made it a much bigger part of the story. What will all of them do? This question is present, but it's kept to a lower register. So, there is a developing romance that gets folded into all the other stuff going on in the story. As a result, one could call this a love story, but that wouldn't feel quite right, I don't think.
When you were working on this story, what was your sense of what kind of story it was?
I never did think of this as a love story. My process in developing a story or an essay is almost always exploratory for the first few drafts. And that was the case with this one even more than usual. It began with memories of a time and a place that I wanted to explore for meanings. I had quite a lot of it drafted before I figured out that its true subject was the drama going on inside Sylvia, a drama she's only partly aware of. Once I'd decided what the story was about, I rewrote it several, in fact, many times, hoping to make all the parts of it work together to make that drama felt.
So, Sylvia is your main character in this novel, isn't she?
Yes. I'd say this is a story about Sylvia. The drama I was most interested in delving into was happening inside her. She's trying on different versions of herself and hasn't yet come to realize that life is serious business. She's reaching for some idea of cool and, naively, she half thinks she's already achieved it, but she's yet to take a deep look at anything in her life. I love her and I forgive her faults because she's young and a slow learner.
What can you tell us about your working process?
In my opinion, stories are constructed through language, not memory. I write at the level of the sentence. I sit there, looking at the doors and windows a sentence has opened for the sentence that can follow, and so on. I do not write with a plan. I do not know where a story is going ahead of time. There is no pre-writing. It all happens in the moment of looking at the words.
How do you understand the plot is going to be interesting for readers?
I do not believe circumstances are intrinsically interesting or uninteresting. Narrators create interest by their passionate investment in the story they are telling. The less the narrator asks for something from the reader, something like feel my feelings, share my understandings, and so on, the more room readers have to feel their own emotions.
Thank you, Leona. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.